Focus. I'm Duncan McKenzie from Channel 9, and I'm here with Ryan McMinn from Access. And he's going to take us through a whole bunch of new features that are with the Access 2010 version. Ryan?
Cool. All right. So we'll start off with getting started, which seems a good place to start. One of the things with Access 2010 is that it lets you get started easier with templates and application parts. So I'm going to start off by showing you how that works. So when you first open Access, you get into the new place. And this gives you a bunch of different options to get templates. Instead of having to start from blank, you can pick a scenario or a business function that you want to use. What's new with Access 2010 is community templates. So when I go into finance, I now see these new kind of community templates. And anybody can upload these and share these. So,
is that the little user icon there indicate that it's not from Microsoft?
Exactly. And you can actually go to the page and you can read more about the person that made them. They've got a whole profile on office.com. Nice. So now people can contribute to the community and they can all share. And make it better to easily create
data. Hopefully do some of our work for us.
Exactly, so. And help each other, which is great. But I'm going to start from a template they already have in my templates called Order Starter Database. So this has got some basic stuff for orders, and I'm going to kind of build an application around that and then publish it to SharePoint. So I'm going to go put it on my desktop.
So that's a new feature as well, right? This idea of taking Access and pushing it to SharePoint?
Yes. So in 2007, we did the first stages of that lets you take your data and move it up into SharePoint. Okay. Now with 2010, we let you move your entire application up.
UI and everything?
UI, logic, queries, excellent. Forms and reports, and you can run it all inside a web browser. It was pretty cool stuff. All right, so we're going to save that in desktop, and we'll get started. So now we're instantiating the template, and we'll enable the content here. And so we've got our basic application. We've got some tables, we've got a query, some forms. One of the things that we want to do is we want to make a list of our latest orders. So I've got my order details and my customers, but I want a list that has my latest orders. So we're going to use the quick create. So I can go to create, and I can create a multiple item form, a list form. And quick create looks at our data source, and it creates an easy form for us very quickly. I can resize it, and I'll just double click to resize it. And I can adjust the graphics a little bit and give it a better title. I'll save that. One of the other things that I want to do with this database is it's got most of the things I want, but I want to be able to track customers by who I've assigned them to in my company.
Okay.
So I want to add a sense of users to this database. Now, normally you would have to add the table yourself, add the forms yourself, create the relationship, do all the connections.
Of course.
What we've added in Access 2010 is application parts. So think of these as templates inside of a template that allow you to reuse parts that you use a lot across all of your databases.
So in this case, kind of a membership user sign-in thing brought in as a group.
Exactly. So if we click on parts, we've got a bunch of blank forms. We've also got these quick start parts, and I'm going to pick users.
Wow.
So when I pick users, the system asks me, how does this connect with the database I already have? So I can look and say, actually, one user has many customers, because I'm going to assign my employees. And click next. And I'm going to pick the field I want to display. So I want to display the full name, so I can assign a full name to a customer.
It's very quick.
And I call this.
I'm just still shocked at how fast you're adding functionality to something here.
It's really cool. So I basically get to quickly set up exactly what I want. I'm going to give the field a name. I'm going to create it. Now, a couple things happen. One is we now have these two new forms. So I've got a user details form. These are all the details from my user. And I can actually go put a couple in so we can use them as samples. And I will add another one. Right. And we also have a user main form. So this is a list of my users. But now when I go back to my customers, I actually go to my customer's data sheet, I can actually add that field automatically to my customers now. Because we already went and we put it in and connected it and created the relationships.
Okay.
I don't have to
worry about that. You're just adding it to this display.
Exactly.
So it was already hooked up to the
already hooked up to
table.
The table for you, okay. And the lookup's already created for you. So you don't have to go manually do all that stuff. So I can actually go quickly assign a bunch of customers out to my people. So this is a state that we find a lot of Access databases get into. I've got some forms, I've got some stuff, but I have no way to kind of navigate around it other than the navigation pane.
Sure, home page.
Exactly.
No,
right. And that navigation pane gives you all of your stuff, but doesn't really tell you how to navigate the application. So for a new user who I want to use this system, this is kind of hard for them to use.
Sure.
So one of the challenges we found with Access previous versions was people would hand roll these, and they spent a lot of time putting together their application UI.
I've done it myself, sure.
So we wanted to make that easier for people to have a hierarchy-based navigation. So we created a new object called the navigation control. So I can go in here and I have a bunch of different options. And we kind of looked at the web and how people navigate sites around the web like Amazon and Apple and how they're sort of laid out in a tab-based hierarchy.
Sure.
And that's what we create here. So I can create a one level of horizontal tabs. I can quickly go in and give my application a title. So we'll call it Orders Database. And now all I have to do to add my stuff to here is drag it and drop from my window. So I can go here and I can say my order is sorted latest. I'll drag it in, my customers, I'll drag it in, my products, and my users. I can quickly give them new names. I can say I want to call that users. I want to call this latest orders. And I can save this form. We'll call it home. So now we can minimize this, because this is more for when I'm designing. And in my runtime view, I now have an easy way for brand new users of my application to navigate around it in the way I want them to. They don't have to figure out what to do.
The runtime view is what the actual, so if you were to send this out to people or put it on a share for people to use, this is what they're going to see.
This is what they're going to see, exactly. And I can show or hide this. I can have it disappear completely if that's the experience that I want. And now it's easier for them to navigate around the application. They don't have to think about it. So the next kind of phase is I've got my data, my details form. So this is kind of my summary view of the orders. I want to show the details of the order. So
drill into a particular into order.
Yeah. So I'm going to go back into layout view, and I'm going to create a space for it. So we have a table-based layout view that allows me to arrange. Just like I do in Word, I can kind of use tables to create the form to look the way I want it. So I can insert left, put a cell in there, and I can add a button to that cell. And we'll call it details. Great. And now we want to basically bring this button alive. We want it to open up the detail for that particular customer.
Okay.
So we're
waiting for some point where you have to write code, but it seems like you're not going to have to here.
Exactly. We're going to be able to use macros. So okay. Access has always had this concept of macros, and we've kind of taken them to the next level so that they run on the client and on the server, which I'll show you in a bit. So now we can go to our event builder, and now we come into the new macro designer. So we basically made a big effort to make the macro designer easier to get started with and work with. And be a little more code-like. So as you learn the concepts of macros, when you do graduate to VBA code or .NET code,
right.
The constructs have helped you learn that stuff. And so you're not completely starting fresh in terms of what the concepts are.
Okay.
So in this case, we want to open a form. I've got a bunch of options. I can choose my pull-down list to get my different options. But I also have this action catalog along the side. So I can actually just browse and see all the different things I can do with this macro. In this case, I know I want to do something with forms, so I can actually just do a search. I can search for forms, and that'll bring me all the actions that relate to forms, which is really cool. And
very,
all I
very quick still. Just there's so many options over in the side, and yet you know the little search basically nails it down to three or four so quickly. So.
Yeah, and what's nice is when you hover over them, you get a little help toolkit that tells you a little bit about what they do too. So if you're not sure, you can find out. So I can double click or drag this onto my surface, and I instantly have my form action. Now, instead of having to code it all by hand, it prompts me into the properties that I need to enter. So before we do this, the first thing we want to do is we want to open up the order of just the one that I have selected.
Right.
So we need to store the ID of that order so we can open up from it. So I can use a temporary variable. So I can say set temporary var. I can call it, let's call it current ID. And I want it to be based off of the order ID. So I want to store the order ID. So as I start typing order ID in, I get IntelliSense. So everywhere in Access where you have expressions, you now have IntelliSense with expressions. And that allows you to figure out what the names of the fields are when you've forgotten and help you type faster once you know what you're doing.
And it knows that order ID here because it's tied to a button that's attached to that orders list.
Exactly.
It knows it's pulling fields from there.
Yes. Okay. So I can pick order ID. I can actually move that above. And then I can go over my form. So I can say we're going to open our order detail. And we're going to say we want our order ID on the order detail to be equal to our temp var current ID. And then we're going to make it a dialog form. And the couple more things we're going to add to this to make it more robust, just to kind of show you some of the other great things you can do in the macro designer, is we're coming from an editable form.
Right.
To a detail form. So we want to make sure that if I had made changes on that editable form, those appear up in the detail. So I can use a new construct we've added and kind of extended in 2010 for if statements. So I can drag in my if statement. And I can say if the form is dirty, so if we made changes to it, go ahead and save those changes first. So now I'm going to save any changes before I open up this detail.
It's a lot nicer than making them have to go through a save before you open the form.
Exactly. It just kind of works for them, right? A lot of the UI logic is around creating a flow between different elements so that from the user's point of view, things just work, and you can control how those things work in the macros. The last part of this macro is, now that I've edited the details, when I go back to my list, I want that to get updated.
Sure.
Right. So I can put down here a refresh record.
So because your opening is a dialog, it's going to basically stay open until they click some sort of
exactly.
save or cancel.
So the way the dialogs work is as soon as I open them, all the code stops until I close them, then it starts again. So once I've opened it on the open form section, that's going to hang there. And when I finish doing any edits or changes and close that, it's going to come back and kick off the refresh record.
Okay.
The great thing about refresh record is in previous versions, you had to refresh the entire data set. And that was right. expensive. And also, you'd lose context about where you were. Refresh record
which individual
only,
row you're
exactly.
selected for them.
Refresh record targets only the row you came from, so it's much more performant and it's in context.
Right.
So we can save that. We can go back to our run view. And now we pick Wheeling, Pittsburgh. We get Wheeling, Pittsburgh. And what's great is if we decide they've moved cities, that appears right there.
Wow.
So you get a nice flow through the system. And the last thing I want to show before we publish is another challenge that a lot of Access users have had. They create a database, they're about to share it with people, and someone comes in and says, this looks fantastic, but it's blue. We don't want it blue. Our
sure.
company colors are different.
At that point, they just tell them to go away.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, blue is all.
And that's usually always the late night before you launch.
Right.
You know, is you frantically trying to change every single button and color element. And that's challenging. So what we've integrated with in this version is Office themes. So now any of the themes that you create in PowerPoint or in SharePoint, you can bring to your Access application.
The same themes move around
the same themes
the
move around, exactly. And so we can actually go to the design view, go to our themes, and we can pick one. So let's say this one seems nice, aspect, and we can actually choose the fonts as well. So in a couple clicks, all of my objects have now changed. And when I click details, it's changed for that form as well. So all of the forms are themable, and when you make one change, and all of your application changes.
Is there anything you have to do to avoid breaking that? Like, can you go in and set buttons to specific colors, and then they
totally.
Want themes?
So when you look at the options on how you set your properties, mm-hmm. the default is themes, and you can
okay.
kind of pick from which part of the theme you want. Any customizations you make will stick. So it allows
nice.
You to take one particular area of your application and
right.
say, I want this to be this way.
This button should be red because
exactly.
it does something horrible, and
exactly.
I need them to know
so you get the flexibility to get the best of both worlds. So now that we've got this, we want to share it. So normally in Access, one of the challenges is all sharing was done through the LAN. And that presented a couple problems. One is if someone wasn't on your LAN, they were in a wide area network or they were a partner somewhere else, they had no opportunity to work with you on the database. And the challenge for IT was they were left with tens of thousands of applications littered all over
exactly.
the enterprise. They don't know who owns them, if they're important, if they're not. But they're, at the end of the day, they're responsible for them. So it created this kind of battle between Access and IT. We've met customers who've have said they've declared war on Access.
Right.
We're trying to get rid of it. And
people can make apps without having to go through the complicated process they would have had to launch other
exactly.
apps.
So the benefits it has of being able to allow end users to build things to get their jobs done quicker, the downside of that is because they're file-based, it meant IT, who's responsible for it, ended up driving them a little crazy.
There's a versioning idea there where if it's all just file-based, I could have one version and then we copy to a
totally.
Share a different version and so on. So
yeah, so you have no idea if the version you're working on is the latest. So one of the things that we did with SharePoint was instead of just moving the data up into SharePoint, move the entire app. And that way, IT can now manage the application inside SharePoint,
right.
which they already run. They're backing it up. They can control permissions. And the users are free to create all sorts of different things that they want inside that sandbox. And so IT is happy, users are happy, it creates a much better situation where IT and users can work together. Also, it allows IT to monitor applications, and they can see which ones are growing and which ones aren't, and they can jump in and help out when required. So instead of always having to be reactive, they can start the process of becoming
proactive.
So
before an app becomes the critical app for the entire company, then they can get involved with that.
Exactly. Like any SharePoint site, they can monitor it. So let's go publish it and see what it looks like in the browser.
Sure.
So I go to my backstage view, and the first thing I want to do is set a start form. So I go to my options, and I can set for this database a start form for home. So I have a display form in the client and on the web. So these applications will run in the client and in the browser, and I can have different experiences depending
on the logic that you've been working on here and all of this navigation actually passes through to the web as well.
Exactly. It all runs in the web, and I'll tell you about that once we publish. Save this. I can click Publish to Access Services. And then I click a URL and a site name. So in this case, I've got it there, or I can type it in. And I will call this. And we'll call it demo 2. I may have done a few more on here. So then I can click my publish button. So what's happening in the background here is kind of pretty game-changing from an access point of view.
Yeah.
Is that all of my tables are now becoming SharePoint lists.
Okay.
All of those relationships that I had between the tables, they're becoming SharePoint list relationships. Any data validation is becoming SharePoint data validation. So my entire data model is now moving up into SharePoint.
And so all of these things are compatible? I mean, so you obviously, you did the macros and things like that, and so all of that's turning into what? Like the,
so that's
the macros.
Exactly. That's the tables. The next thing is the queries. All the queries go up and get stored in XML on the server, and they get run through Access Services. We have a query processor on the server
okay.
that runs those.
So there's something inside SharePoint now, part of this Access Services,
yes.
that knows how to deal with this kind
exactly.
of thing.
Exactly. Knows how to do queries, knows how to do joins and get data. All of the forms that I made, they get turned into ASPX pages. All of the UI macros that I made get turned into JavaScript and run in the browser.
Wow.
All of the reports get turned into RDL, which gets rendered by SQL Server reports. So your entire application now works, renders, and runs inside the browser as well as the client.
And yet I can use Access as the place where I do this coding and this assembling and designing. And things like
exactly.
That,
so Access lets you develop and build the application. And the hard part was sharing it. Now you can share it with a URL. You just need to send someone a URL, and anybody on your team, in your company, or your partners can, through SharePoint, access that site.
So what, after you've done this once, so we do this now.
Yeah.
We make logic changes to our app. We make design changes. What do we do to keep those things published? Like, we
and I'll show you
again?
That. So there's the full model around syncing. So publishing is just the first step.
Okay.
It's getting you started. Now your application lives in the browser
right.
or in SharePoint. Once it's in SharePoint, you can actually edit it and work with it from the Access client in a more organic way. You know, most Access applications start off very small,
sure.
and they kind of gradually build
You're
and evolve
over time. You're
adding
stuff all the time, definitely.
Exactly. So it's very important that you can keep that organic style kind of moving. So our publish succeeded, which is cool, and now we can go look at this inside the browser. Great. So now with pretty much perfect fidelity, we've got our database running up mm-hmm. in the browser. And we can even try out some of that logic. So now our form pops up just the one we
yep.
want. And we can go in and let's go change the city again. We'll change it to, what's a good city?
Ann Arbor, sure. So this is, I mean, we have a little modal dialogue, which isn't the simplest thing to do in HTML, and yet it's taking care of all that for us.
And what's really,
pop up and
exactly.
Everything.
And what's really cool is it's not opening a brand new window. It's doing it all through the browser with
right.
a floating div. Plus, all of these pages are, and I'll show you this in a second, we'll save and close that. And now you see that that updates in the
sure.
ship city.
And a little record updated, so it did a little AJAX call back up to SharePoint, made
exactly.
it change the data, everything brought back. That's
so none of these are on a post-back model. They're all in a full AJAX model. So it's all page refreshes through AJAX, through JavaScript, and the back button's actually plugged into work as well. So as you navigate through your application, you can use the standard browser back button to move around without
nice.
Having to worry about remembering where you are. So the next thing I want to show, I think the final thing, is how you kind of edit it and put it back up.
Okay.
So in this case, we're going to do something dramatic. So I like to do dramatic things. We're going to close this database up, and here it is on the home page. We've got the database we had. We also make a backup for you when you publish, just so you have it in case you want to go
Safe.
Back to it later. But you know what? For the IT folks that are watching, we're going to delete them.
Mm.
We don't need them anymore, right? Our application is now living fully in SharePoint. I don't need that client version to run it anymore. Now I can just send someone this URL, and they can
but
use it.
But that was your source. That was your original.
So now I want to edit. So now I can go to my options menu and I can say, I want to open this in Access. Plus, we also have the ability here to go to site permissions and share. So if I want to share it with a team or someone, I can do that through the standard
right.
site sharing
Restricted to a certain group. Or...
Exactly. I can control all of that stuff. So we can go ahead and open this in Access. And what it's going to do is it's going to go to the server and it's going to sync the entire application down for me. all the forms, all the reports, all the macros.
So is it reconverting everything back, or is it actually sort of keeping your original access logic up on the server somewhere?
It's all basically in access you had a table that would have all of your objects in it that would kind of hide inside the ACCDB file. We're moving that definition table now into the web.
Up into SharePoint.
So now we're just syncing between that application definition. And what we've done here is, since I didn't have it already, I've created a copy inside my documents access application so I know where to find it later.
So this is great if the person who built the original app goes away, loses their laptop. We don't have this dependency on the user who created it. It's still SharePoint now. So the IT-managed SharePoint is the one source for this. We don't have this situation where we love this app, everyone uses it, but we don't have the original.
Totally. So. And one of the other advantages is, if you want to run this on the client as well, every time I open up this application now that I've saved it, the first thing it does is hit the server and say, what's changed?
So it always gets the most up-to-date
version. Exactly. So you don't have to worry about a lot of access developers that write all sorts of complicated updaters to go update everybody whenever they made a change. Now that's pretty seamless. The act of opening the application will update it to the latest for you.
So is it possible? That means I can use like a client version of this and get the same data that the website is seeing.
So one of the great advantages with that is a lot of the advanced functionality of Access, like VBA, doesn't move directly to the server. But this allows you to continue to take those applications that have heavyweight VBA, will store them for you in SharePoint, run them on the client,
but everyone's kept up to date, and the data is shared across everybody versus having to hit like an MDB file on a file share.
Totally.
Like
now all the data is up in SharePoint, the application's there, but you can still run it on the client. So you get to leverage all those legacy applications you have into the new world, which we're very excited about.
I don't know why people would be using something else. I'm still stunned at the speed at which you build these things.
So what's cool here is we're going to kind of do a cookbook or a cooking show thing where we're going to take a version I already made, kind of make the UI look a little better, so we don't have to go through all the time it takes to kind of do that. We showed how easy it is to get started. So we're going to use our external data, and Access external data lets you connect to all sorts of kinds of external data and bring it in. In this case, we want to get some forms and some objects from an Access database. So we're going to go to our
one that
desktop.
You had ready before.
Exactly.
In the oven.
I've called it orders cooked.
Okay.
So I'm going to import these, and I'll grab my forms, and I'll grab my reports. Bring them in. Cool. And this actually allows you to save import steps. So if you ever want to repeat an import over and over again, a lot of people do, you can save
that. So if you were pulling data in from, let's say, some other system that was producing comma-separated values or something like that, then you could keep this so you can
run
it over.
Exactly. You do the work of the import once, and you can repeat it, which is awesome. So now I can open up my new home form, and it's much nicer. So
it's
spend as much time as I want making the Access app look at the way I want it and to match the kind of color schemes and design. This actually was modeled after my Twitter theme. I like my Twitter theme. That was one of the themes, so I kind of made an app to match
nice
that.
Nice little triangle.
Exactly.
Going there. It's good.
And so we're going to go and sync this to the server. So now we've got it locally, and this allows us to test. So we can make some forms, make some reports, make some logic changes locally.
Right. And you haven't done anything to the server broken anyone else.
Exactly. I can try it out, make sure I like it, and then I can go back and I can sync all inside the backstage.
So at this point, I saw it do a check compatibility, making sure that what you had done, that what would work on the web, what wouldn't work on the web.
Exactly. And there's a compatibility checker, which is really useful for older applications. So if you're bringing a 2000 application forward, the compatibility checker will look through your data and tell you what schema will work and what won't and what changes you need to make.
So things you've done that aren't compatible with SharePoint lists.
Exactly, yeah. And now that we've done that, we can go back to the browser and we can click on our link again.
Voila.
And now we have our great looking form, and we added a little drill through that has a nicer looking detail form with a master-child relationship. All the basic goodness you get in Access you now get running in the browser.
So all your users basically would have just hit the site this morning, been using it, hit it again, everything's better. They love
just get
you.
The updates.
You've got everything they need.
Exactly.
So this is Access 2010, a whole bunch of amazing features. Access on the web, buying with SharePoint and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's quite impressive. If you want to know more about Access 2010, we have the Access show on Channel 9, and we also have the Access blog.
Yeah, which is at blogs.msdn.com/access.